Grant, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. The antidote to paddle games. With Colin Sell at the piano, your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the program that does for comedy what Dolly Parton did for limbo dancing. To introduce the teams, on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. Finally, can I introduce you to a woman who couldn't limbo dance under rugby posts, our scorer, Samantha. Wow. Our first round is called Famous First Words. I shall ask our teams to suggest the first words of some famous people or Giles Brandreth. Willie Rushton, will you? Will you start with some famous first words, please, Willie Rushton?
Alan Wicker.
Barry.
David Coleman. Extraordinary. 2 minutes, 38.5 seconds. Where? No.
Okay, Tim.
Mark Thatcher. Where am I?
Graham.
Paul Raymond. Make up your own. What he actually said was... I ain't half thirsty, Mum. I fancy a large one. Yours were better, weren't they? Be honest.
Right. Open house now. Any more?
Dalai Lama's first words. As I was saying. I have someone. I have to play the piano for this. Excuse me. 1 moment.
Really rushed in now. Yeah, sits down.
Jacques Lussier.
I never knew you could play the piano, will you?
You do.
Adolf Hitler.
This isn't Poland. I'm going back.
Oh, Mr. MacDonald, the hamburger king. Hey, those dirty nappies give me a great idea.
Any more? Okay, well, if I hurry along, I'll have time to inform the teams of the late arrivals they'll be announcing at the end of the program. This week, I'll be asking for late arrivals at the Keep Fit Ball. Keep Fit Ball. We go on now to a round. This is a musical round. It's called Blues Stroke Madrigal Stroke Calypso. It's a musical round in which each team must sing a song on a subject suggested by the other. Musical accompaniment is provided by Colin Sell, who is very good. Yes, that just about sums it up. Right. Barry and Graham, would you suggest the subject for Willie and Tim, please?
Well, yes, the Glasnost. What, Madrigal?
Madrigal.
Glasnost?
Glasnost.
Yeah. Glasnost Madrigal.
You've heard of it. Russian.
As I was walking out one day, I heard a little cough.
And who should I see standing there but Mikhail Gorbachev?
I said, give us a kiss, you lovely thing. I fancy your glasnost.
He said, I've heard about you, Englishman, and suggested I got lost.
Okay. William and Tim, will you suggest a subject for Barry and Graham?
Blues, I think. Good ethnic blues.
Yes.
Philofax.
Yes.
Thank you.
woke up this morning, found I'd lost my fellow pants. So I must have left it in the wine bar. On consideration, that was very lax. Now I'm completely at a loss for words. Because inside it was my rhyming dictionary.
Many of you will be aware of the fabulous television show Call My Bluff, but don't let that put you off our version. Let's have the next word. And it's palindrome. Palindrome. Start with you, Barry.
Palindrome is, in the context of the Second World War, indeed the Battle of Britain, so wonderfully delineated some months ago in a piece of cake, seeing the accurate account of that period in our history. And our pilots used to be on a duty roster. Not always just, you know, because of the system of rotation, but because of repairs, you know. Sometimes they were punctious pilots, and sometimes they were... Some chums would be left behind in the hangar because of the system of rotation or repairs and so on. So your chum left behind in the hangar, or your pal in drome, as it was known then. So palindrome means the ones left behind, or the one left behind. Palindrome.
Right, Tim Brooke Taylor, your definition.
Palindrome, actually, it's an old show business expression, used probably mostly in Victorian pantomimes. It was an effect done with mirrors and lights. And then they used to have the old pantomime dromedary in those days, very famous, and they used to make it disappear, so it almost paled into insignificance. And this effect was known as the palindromedary. And it became shortened to palindrome, and it was tough on the actors because they did actually disappear. That's why they don't use it anymore. John Gielgud, it is apparently he made his debut as the back part of the dromedary, but got out just in time before the effect, apparently. But it's a palindrome, short of palindromedary. Good night.
Right, your definition, Graham Garden.
We're in the area of Japanese ancestor worship here. Palindrome is a sort of shrine which is much favoured by a certain sect or cult who worship their forefathers. In fact, they keep the mummified corpses of their forefathers in this shrine, this place. They keep their father, their father's father, their father's father's father, and the father's 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 father, propped up around the walls. It is, in fact, a par-lined room. Corrupted over the years to palindrome. Or plinth.
Willie Rushton, can I have your definition?
Well, there's been a bit of corruption here over the years. It's actually parlint Rome. And parlint is a corruption of parliament in Rome. And it represents the massive job opportunities awaiting in Italy in 1992. This is the Prime Ministership of Italy, which at the moment is only available to nationals, but come 1992 will be open to all, every week. As well other jobs like waiters and Pope. So it's parlint room. It's being right. Prime Minister of Italy.
Right, so we have Barry, your... definition one, left behind. Not too certain about that.
Sounds painful apart from anything else.
One right.
Palindromedary. That was a ghastly pun, so I'm not going to consider that for a moment. Japanese ancestor worship. The father's father and the father's father's father and all that bit. I was quite impressed by that. It sounded convincing. Willie's, I couldn't really get one word of what he said.
The batteries have gone again.
Something about Parliament in Rome or something. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to go for Graham's. The father's father. His father. Standing around the walls. Graham.
Oh.
Oh. So. So who gave the real
so
one?
So who gets the right one now?
Ah!
Yeah. I must say, I had that suspicion that that was right. The next round. But I had to choose between one or the other. And we go on to the next round, which is called Cheddar Gorge. I will say a word, and our fabulous panel must continue the sentence saying only one word each. Tim, you're going to start this one. Stoats.
Are.
Very.
Aren't.
What? What?
Stoats are very aren't.
Sorry.
Oh, don't care, aren't.
Stoats are very aren't. I can't. Give me an English.
Do you want
grammar.
To rethink that one?
No, it's quite reasonable to say stoats are very, aren't they?
Ah.
You might say stoats are quite nice. No, I like stoats are very.
I think that's quite right, so we win that round. Thank you very much. I'm willing to give it another go.
Let's start that one again. The audience is getting out of hand. So go on, Tim. Stoats.
Sometimes.
Use.
Stoats sometimes use things.
Which.
Are.
Easily.
Put.
Into.
Osculatory.
Situations.
Like.
This.
One. For.
Which.
We
have
many
diagrams.
Behold,
this
one
here,
which I
hold
now
in my
hand,
is very disgusting.
But
then
seldom
hath
stoats
ever
been
like
this
only
publicly
during
Michaelmas.
And
possibly
July.
Ish.
I say, let's play another one. Yes. Oh. Barry, you begin this time after I say, whenever
I
feel
like
this,
I
sniff
this.
Hello.
Hello. Said
I.
With
a
wry
and
wry and
a wry and
Tommy sandwich. I was aiming for.
I wouldn't mind pastrami. A case of champagne, but I'm... Sorry, Grant.
Pastrami.
Sandwich.
Bitch.
I.
Consume.
Quickly.
As.
I.
Enjoy.
Pastrami.
Habitually.
And.
Rye.
Mornington.
Sandwich.
Whenever
Barry
feels
a
blank
coming
on,
he
usually
says
this.
Hello.
Right, we go on to a funny round called Headlines. I shall give the teams a story and ask them to come up with appropriate headlines from the newspapers. First story is Cinderella. Let's go to you, Tim, first.
cloth.
I think the Independent would say, Prince wraps monstrous carbuncle on the face of much-loved ugly sister.
Graham.
Unveiled Sinclair's new mouse-powered C6.
Willie?
Daily Telegraph. Ugly sister's abseil into House of Commons.
The Star, Dandini's kiss and tell memoirs.
The People, Prince Charming in sex change horror. Is that a foot? It fits.
Sunday Sport, my husband has been turned into a footman, says Lizard.
Tatler, Baron Hardup, blackballed from Wigmore Club.
Any more there? Let's have another story then. Oh. Start with you, Barry. How about Macbeth?
Oh. The Sun. 20 things you never knew about Macduff.
The Mirror. Royal Porter, I am tired of all this knocking.
Oh, here's one. Stop this evil traffic in eyes, the Daily Mail Save Our Newts campaign.
Financial Times. Wogan invests in Burnham Woods.
Horror. Back page of the FT. Forest on move, Clough delighted.
Stage. Late King of Scotland should never have whistled in dressing room.
And from the Sunday Sport, alien witches stole my Thane.
Magazine 17, get rid of those damn Spock.
The Dunsinane Courier, things looking up for Cawdor couple.
Any more? Okay, Barry wins that one.
But we're going to play. Got the ball. What? Sorry.
We're going to play a round now called One Song to the Tune of Another. I wonder what that's all about. Tim,
sorry.
Would you sing Doo Wah Diddy to the tune of Some Enchanted Evening? Colin Sell will accompany you.
There she was just a walking down the street, singing Doo Wah Diddy, Diddy Dum Diddy Doo, popping her fingers and shuffling her feet, singing Doo Wah Diddy, Diddy Dum Diddy Doo. She looked good, she looked fine, she looked good, she looked fine, and I nearly.
Thank you, Topol. Graham, would you sing Je Ne Regrette Rien to the tune of Two Little Boys?
Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien. Égal, non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est des balayés oubliés. Je me fous du passé avec mes souvenirs. J'ai allumé le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin de. Belayer les amours
et tout le tremolo. Elle y est pour toujours le repère à zéro.
I'll give it five. Oh. Willie, your tune is Satisfaction. The words of Satisfaction to the tune of Moonlight Becomes You.
All right. I can't get no satisfaction. Can't get no satisfaction. Well, I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. I can't get no. Well, I'm driving my car and that man comes on the radio. And he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no. Oh, no, no. Hey, hey. That's what I say. I can't get no. I can't get no. I can't get no satisfaction. No satisfaction. No satisfaction. No satisfaction. No satisfaction. No
satisfaction. And finally, Barry Cryer, would you sing Bless Your Beautiful Hide to the tune of La Donna Immobile?
Bless your beautiful hide, wherever you may be. We ain't met yet, but I'm willing to bet you're the gal for me. Bless your beautiful hide, you're just as good as lost. Don't know your name, but I'm a stake in my claim. Let your eyes is crossed. Oh, I'd swap my gun and I'd swap my mule.
Well, Graham Garden won that round.
Oh.
And we go on to the next one now. My Aunt Maud used to say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything. Well, in this next round, I'll give each team member the name of a famous person and ask them to say something nice about them. Do your best, Caps. Graham, we'll start with you. Geoffrey Archer.
Oh, come on.
You can cross your fingers.
All right. Geoffrey Archer's latest book deserves to be in the bookshops for a very long time.
Barry, Norman Tebbit.
You should hear him whistle. Great whistler, Norman.
Dan Quayle. I don't remember him.
And Willie Rushton. For you, Rupert Murdoch.
He was awfully good in Much Binding in the Marsh.
Marquis de Sade. He took some beating.
Papa Doc is dead.
And Robert Robinson. Robert Robinson is so good on Stop the Week that they're thinking of putting other people on the program with him.
Nicholas Ridley. Well, he's consistent.
That puts you in the lead, Tim. Any more? Right, well, it's time now for Samantha and me to sort ourselves out while the team, or the teams rather, announce the late arrivals at the Keep Fit Ball. Keep Fit Ball. Who's going to start?
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Bicycle.
Oh, welcome.
Now, there's some the railway porter known as Station Arry Bicycle.
Pretty good in my book. Mr. and Mrs. Thenix and their daughter, Carla.
Thenix.
The Tards and their son, Leo.
Closely followed by the bollock steroids.
Oh,
their daughter.
Curses!
And their daughter Anna. Well, why not?
It's cabaret time.
Oh, no. Soon, so early.
There's a dearth of guests. It's cabaret time. With, as usual, a cowboy act, Hop, Skip and Jump Cassidy, with his steroid and his bull worker. Well, that's the end of the cabaret. Would you please all go home quietly?
Here come the Sinballs and their daughter Maddie.
Pray silence for Benjamin Daniel Stretch. That's Ben Dan Stretch.
The Unstone Weaklings and their son Sevy.
Gymnasium proudly presents the pride of the Ontel Bars, Horace Ontel Bars. From Israel, the Metric Bars and their son Isaac Midget Bars. Thank you. And the Exercises' beautiful daughter, Flora Exercises.
Meanwhile, back at the cabaret. Time for Deltoid and the press-ups. Stop that, lad. She's gone. And...
there's Mr. and Mrs. Robix and their daughter, Annie.
Aerobics.
Welcome, please, to the Sbadfew family. They're here with their corpulent son, Fatty's Bad for You.
Oh, Jane Fonda's brought one of her videos, but it's on Golden Pond, the silly cow. Cabaret part three. Cliff Richard and Jonathan Ross doing their act, Clean and Jerk.
Well, with perseverance rewarded.
Christopher Training, late news. Christopher Training has just been knighted. That's Kit Training.
There's Mr. and Mrs. Demeter Sprint and their son Andrew Demeter Sprint. Don't know how he got in.
Don't forget to join us again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Gardner, Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Spencer.